The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel's from John, so I've never felt like the words that I would use from other Gospels or the rest of the Bible are completely appropriate. Because John doesn't really tell parables. They might be metaphors, but they don't seem to operate in quite the same way of just comparing one thing to another. So I usually call them images. Because I think that John brings forth pictures to our mind. And I'm tempted to call them icons. Icons are meant to be 2D images through which you have access to the full reality. John's images or icons of Jesus are icons for our meditation. You get everything with one glance, but that continued meditation brings forth some lovely details. In this image, there are four characters: sheep, wolves, hired hands, and the good shepherd. Within the time frame it's being told, the identities of each of these characters is immediate. The sheep are the people of Israel. In the more prosaic Gospels, Jesus is often described as seeing the crowds and having his guts churned over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Probably obligatory this year to mention that viral video of a sheep getting stuck. It's almost Johannine in its simplicity. You guys have seen that video, right? If you haven't, you need to Google it and look it up. There's a sheep that's being rescued from a ditch. It's a narrow ditch, probably about 20 feet long, but only about a foot wide, and probably about 3 feet deep. And the sheep has fallen headfirst into the ditch, and it's stuck there with only its one hind leg kicking up. And presumably the owner comes along and pulls that sheep up rather roughly by that hind leg. It's restless and it's bucking in the arms, so the owner puts it down, and the sheep immediately starts running and jumping, and about 3 seconds later, the sheep is back headfirst into that ditch, about 10 feet away from where it was originally let out. Sheep. That's what Jesus is seeing. The people of God, sorely oppressed by sin, bounding from one bondage to the next bondage, desperately bucking away from the only thing that frees them. The wolves in Jesus' original time were, of course, the chief priests and the higher Pharisees, the folks that arrest Peter in Acts today. As Ezekiel would talk about them in his time, he would add Israel's princes. It's about the time of the exile, but Ezekiel describes them as feeding off the people and slaughtering them. Nothing has really changed about Jesus' picture. God's people have been made the slaughter animals for those in authority. It's the hired hand. That might be tougher to ID immediately, but I think the larger context of John helps. John's picture of the good shepherd is right after he tells an extended story of a man born blind. And in that story, that man is interacting not with the chief priests or the temple authorities, but the man born blind is interacting with some Pharisees and those who are in charge of his local synagogue. The hired hands are those Pharisees who are just trying to do their job. But they're trying to do it with the wrong tools. They are the blind guides. And most of what they do in that story is done out of fear. Likewise, in that story, you have the blind man's parents, another local authority, who, out of fear, abandons their own son. The hired hands are not the wolves, those with that higher authority, those who are eating the sheep. But those with that middle authority, who know the truth, but out of fear, abandon the flock. The final and key original image is the Good Shepherd. And this is Jesus himself. Another way to translate that word good would be true, the true shepherd. And that's what I want to focus on in John's image. What makes Jesus the true shepherd? What are the key attributes? One of the one of overriding importance, because he says it three times, is I lay down my life for the sheep. Those with great authority are devouring the flock. The local authorities are abandoning the flock out of fear, but the true shepherd stands and fights and apparently loses. The true shepherd experiences what the sheep themselves have, being sacrificed for the purposes of the wolves. That's this cross put into an active image. The call of being the Christ required the cross, just as the call of being a true shepherd would require fighting the wolves, which you'll eventually lose. And Jesus did this willingly. Day by day, he taught in the temples, taking on all comers. And yet, they came to him at night and take him with a kiss. They rush him through improper trials where the witnesses are liars. But Caiaphas prophesies it's better for one man to die than for us to lose our place. And they hand him over to Pilate. And Pilate finds nothing wrong with the man. It kills him anyway to avoid unrest, which really means to keep his job. Jesus told the truth. Told the truth for the sheep, and they killed him for it, to keep their power. But there are some other attributes that Jesus brings up here that are important. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. The true shepherd of the sheep is of the sheep to the point that they look at him as one of them. The true shepherd is also of the Father, the owner of the flock. John's way of saying that this one is true God and true man. True man that we can look at that cross and see our brother. True God that we can hear his word and see his actions and know that they are universal. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. This is not a small God. The flock of the Creator of all things is not just a small local thing. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, but he's not just the Messiah of the Jews. This is the Christ, the One. The God that the Jews had come to know had always claimed to be the creator of everything. All the world was his, even if large portions of it had been turned over to Satan or to the small g gods. And this Jesus, by this universal action, intended to gather them all. The true shepherd is the shepherd of all of his people, from every tribe, people, language, and nation. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Easter, the resurrection, is the great proof of this. By his resurrection, we know that Jesus' words and actions are universal, that he is the true God. And the man born blind in that story before remarks that he knows that Jesus has come from the Father, because who else have we ever heard of restoring sight to a man born blind? How much more from a man who comes back from the dead? And the deeper picture here, the one that makes this attribute a key one, is that the true shepherd Jesus is giving up his life and taking it back are acts of divine authority, of good and true authority. Those who had abused their authority and become wolves, those who were afraid to use their authority properly because those wolves were strong, they are being replaced. The sheep of God that God would gather into the one flock would not be led by such authorities. The sheep would no longer be the prey. But the Christ has received this charge, this authority from the Father. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. They will all perish, but his kingdom remains forever and ever, until God makes of his enemies his footstool. The true shepherd, this one acts for the sheep from the sheep. The true shepherd from the Father, in word and deed, is universal for all of us. And the true shepherd is clothed in that authority from on high, authority that he uses properly and supersedes any authority that the wolf or the hired hand might have. I don't think it's very hard for us to universalize John's image for today. The people of God always appear like sheep, getting out of that ditch 1 second and falling back into it 10 feet later. And it's easy to think about this as our parochial sins. But I think the image of the Good Shepherd asks us to think just a little bit bigger. Who is our God? Or who is our shepherd? We've been freed from being the slaughter animals of the kingdoms of the world, of the small g gods of Satan, the world, and our flesh. In baptism, we've been made part of that one flock. We've been taught how to hear the voice of the authentic shepherd, of that true shepherd, through that indwelling spirit. And we've heard the word proclaimed of the authority of Christ. We've been made free. We've been made free to follow the Good Shepherd. Will we have the Good Shepherd? Will we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil? Or will we return to the false gods, the wolves, who promise us safety and security, but who, of course, are eating our lives? Will we have this good shepherd who pulls us maybe roughly out of that ditch, not always being nice, but being true and good? Or do we prefer the niceness of hired hands, who would never think of being a little rough to drag our sorry butts out of that pit? They would just leave us there and run away. Will we follow a true good shepherd? Or do we prefer the wolves in sheep's clothing? The wolves and hired hands will promise you lots of safety and security. This one is the only shepherd that will lead you into green pastures and beside still waters. This one is the only shepherd that invites sheep to his banquet. Amen.